You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all. To go someplace where the laughs are free, and there are bad jokes and bad hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall, coast to coast, with a show that'll never say die. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall are your hosts. Come along for the ride. We can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that dingle ring. And occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
I'm ready to camp.
I'm ready to go camping, Cliff. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
We are camping out here in the studio.
We're here. We're in a tent. It's a camping kind of mood going on.
Well, see, today. I wanted to go camping, and everybody was like, we're not going real camping. We'll camp here in the studio.
That's what I said. I'm not going real camping.
That's what I said.
Not to throw you so quickly into such on-topic information, but I am not. Camping, do you like camping? This is, I can't wrap my head. Once a year, he sits down and watches a football game. I can't imagine why. And
I watch more than one.
I watch like three.
He watches 1.3. He'll watch about 10 minutes of another. And that's just if he can't find the remote control or he's in so much food pain.
The show
can't move.
On. I got to watch football.
Let me take a sidebar. Back when we were little and things like Saturday morning cartoons existed, mm-hmm. That was when you knew the party was over. When suddenly, like, the sport thing came on. It was, you were going, there were cartoons, it was all for kids, it was great, and then suddenly you saw a ball, like, bounce into the screen, and it was, no wonder why I associate sports with all the fun being zapped out of everything. That, and I was always the fattest, gayest one, and last to be chosen for anything. It's just who I was. But anyway, who we are is Cliff and Kendall now. I think one day we should just change the name to that. Cliff and Kendall now.
All right.
Do you like that name for a future change?
Yes, I do.
I'm liking it. I feel like it's very future. Even though it's now and it's obviously in the present, I feel it's very kind of a futuristic name. But anyway, you like camping?
Yes, back to that.
You, Kendall, the other
host. I didn't want to interrupt your 3-minute soliloquy.
Of this internet talk show / radio filler program on KBSH, Rye 99, in Busheltown. You, the other host, you like camping. What? I know we've talked about this. We had to have before. And now I'm turning it off.
I was about to say, I'm not going to get to talk about it this time either.
Talk, brother.
I do like camping. I like being out in nature. I like to look up at the stars way outside of the city.
Nature.
I do. I like nature.
I like nature. I'm not down in nature.
And I love to like be out.
I don't
out
have to
in a,
sleep in it.
I love to be out in a tent in the middle of the night and you hear something like walking in the woods. It's kind of scary. You don't know what it's going to be. It's not that. It's fun. I enjoy it. I think camping goes above football.
Well, I like camping better than football, too, but I like a lot of things better than football. Football's like right above hate crimes.
It's like pizza, 12 million other things, and then football.
Anything else I could possibly think of, and then football. But anyway, we are camping. Kendall really wanted it. This is as close as I was going to come to giving it to him.
Wouldn't this have been great, doing a show in the woods, camping at night?
Now
Mr. Snowbottom's irritable bowels.
I remember going camping when I was a child, and I always was too afraid, and the shower places were so gross.
Real camping doesn't have shower places.
Ugh.
You bring a portable shower in your backpack.
a portable shower in your backpack. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Kendall, I'm not Inspector Gadget over here. Go-go shower.
In fact, Susan and I went camping with
go-go shower. You like that?
Susan and I went camping with someone in LA before we left. Because you wouldn't go.
I wouldn't go.
And so we're out like camping, and they all laughed at me because I brought this shower. And I said, I got to take a shower before I go to sleep. And they're like, no, you're camping. I said, that's my one thing I need is a shower.
That's anyway. I can think of things you need more than a shower.
No.
A weight loss program.
Did you know, Cliff, that when you're camping...
Yeah.
I get tired of cow mooing every time I talk.
That moo cow. Get out of here.
You know you can tell the temperature when you're camping by listening to a cricket chirping? Did you know this?
A, why would you care if you're out? You can obviously tell, is it too cold for me or too hot for me? You can tell this without knowing the number.
You don't have to know a number. I just thought it was interesting that you could do this.
Say, why are the crickets bothering to tell us the temperature?
You just count the number of chirps in 14 seconds and add 40 to the temperature in Fahrenheit.
You taught that so well, we don't even have to go back over it.
No, we don't. We're done.
We're done. Kendall, I have something for our listeners. If they're forced to go camping, you know, sometimes you are, and maybe you, unlucky, you who are listening, and let's face it, if you're listening, you're unlucky. You might be forced to go camping actually in the out of doors, unlike me. You don't have a studio to do it in. I want you to do this. You're going to build a campfire, right? That's everybody's favorite part.
Sitting by the campfire.
Don't you love a
telling
campfire?
Telling ghost stories, yeah.
I do like that. No, I like that. I would like to do that and then go
home.
So
we'll just go in the woods, and then when we finish that, you just go home.
Or go to a hotel.
Uh-huh.
I do like that. So here's what you do. You build the fire, and so then you eat a bunch of oranges at the fire. You just eat them, but save those peels, okay? If you could just save them in equally large halves. Just sort of cut it in half, then eat it out, and then save the peel, right? You get these empty peels. Then you take your blueberry muffin mix. You put it in these empty peels. You mush the peels back together. You wrap it up in aluminum foil like a baked potato. You throw it on the fire. The kids are going to love that part.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
You throw it on the fire. You let it bake. You have to listen closely to the crickets chirping to see how hot the fire has gotten. And so when they chirp exactly when it's about 350, you will take them off, and then what you've got, Kendo, is you've got muffins in the shape of an orange you cooked in the fire.
I think I want to go camping right now just so I can do that.
Who does it? Let's go back to your house and just build a fire in the fireplace and do that.
Not in the fireplace. You got to do that outside.
Not in the fireplace. Who's the idiot who suggested building a fire in the fireplace? Come on.
My fireplaces are gas, Cliff.
Come on. Kendall's full of gas. I know he's full of something over there.
But, you know, I'm not alone. 3 million people camp.
You are not alone.
At parks and National Park Service every year.
I am here.
3 million.
Though we're far apart, Kendall, you're always in my heart. Even when Kendall's out in the wilderness and I have stayed behind to be with society.
Well, and Mr. Snodbottom said no fires after that big fire damage in his office.
Oh, he was so mad. It ruined a whole case of bowel stiffener.
Mm-hmm.
It was the smoke damage.
And that's very expensive.
It was very expensive. It's a very heavy case to carry. And he was so mad about it last week. The fire, everybody. If you didn't hear it, we almost thought our studio was going to go. It was another time I thought maybe this is it.
Well, Cliff kept yelling fire.
This is it. Well, we kept having, you know, great moments for that to happen. And I was yelling it, and we'd yelled it so many times before. They didn't come with the extinguisher in time. And it was a horrible, horrible misunderstanding.
Yes, that's what it was, a misunderstanding.
It's quite a misunderstanding.
Mrs. Butter-Butter-Butter-Churn didn't feel the same way.
She didn't feel the same way. But, you know, she's going to come in later. We'll see how she did feel about all that.
But Kendall, Cliff, you are a son of a blank.
A son of a blank. Blank. Blank.
It's time for
blank.
Fill in the blank. Blank. Aren't you so excited?
I'm so
I think
excited.
There's a bird loose in the studio while we're camping.
I hear a bird. a Londonderry bird.
See, whenever Cliff sings and there's a big long pause, it's me waiting to see if there's more.
I know. And that's everybody's favorite part of the show, the waiting.
Oh, yes. Because I'm like, I don't want to start talking because he's just going to break right back into
waiting
song.
Waiting is the best part. All right, Kendall, fill in this blank.
All right.
You ready?
Blank me.
20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones that you did blank.
Do.
You got it.
I was like, surely not.
You got it. And that was said by who? The Cliff and Kendall of his time.
Mark Twain.
Yep.
Cliff, this is not me saying this. Right. When I was younger, my family would go camping and fishing on our ranches. My dad loves being around all kind of blanks.
All kind of insects.
No.
Animals.
Paris Hilton said that.
Oh, Paris. Another pearl of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to blank me, aren't you?
Seduce.
Skadoosh.
Cliff.
Yeah, that was from The Graduate.
I've been camping and stuff, but if you left me in the blank, I'd probably just curl up and cry until someone found me.
In the woods?
Yes.
Oh, was that me?
That was you.
That was me. No, that I was said that.
Norman Reedus.
Cliff
and Kendall of
he and I have so much in common.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot all the blue jays you want if you can hit them, but remember that it's a sin to kill a blank.
A bird.
You're close.
An animal.
You're farther.
I don't know.
Let me say it again. Shoot all the blue jays you want if you can hit them, but remember that it's a sin to kill a blank.
A man.
No.
Mockingbird. And that's from the film and book To Kill a Mockingbird.
I was like, I said bird. I don't know how closer to get.
Can't get any closer than that, Kendall.
Isn't that weird, taking my blank blank bag camping?
My blank blank?
Yep, two blanks.
No, Kendall. It's not filling the blank blank.
Okay, blank Vuitton bag camping.
There you go. Louie! Louie.
That was another... That was another celebrity going camping. That was Jessica Simpson camping. I picked these because I thought it'd be like you going camping. Like, I don't want to go camping.
I love it. I think it's great. Tomorrow, I'll think of some way to get him back. After all, tomorrow is another blank.
Day. I thought you were going to say tomorrow. I will think of something really funny to say there.
No, I'm done with that moment. Mm-hmm. I'm moving on. That was from Gone with the Wind. I just picked classic quotes.
Classic.
There for you. I wanted to give you a sense of accomplishment.
Well.
And I did it.
Thanks, Cliff.
Good job.
You're too used to having accomplishments. I wanted to pull it back a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So you got some of those.
Here's some obscure stuff nobody knows.
Oh, no. They were pretty easy. No. You got the first one and you got the third. You got all of them, really. After I gave you the baton. Anyway, Cliff, before these sheep take over the studio, I've got to take a break.
Oh, you got to take a break. I've got to go take a break. I've got to get out there. I got a break. It's crazy.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. You won't want to miss a thing.
Coupon number 17, ration coupon 17. Are you planning to use your shoe ration coupon to buy white shoes? If so, give them the best of care. Keep them clean with Energene Shoe White. No shoe white can make your shoes look whiter than Energene Shoe White. It's made with the very whitest pigment known, and it spreads so easily, dries so evenly, it gives your shoes the neat, well-kept look they must have to give you the most satisfactory wear. For the best of care for the white shoes you wear, remember Energene Shoe White.
In 100 years, none of this will matter, so you might as well keep listening to Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. To camp out in the studio. I had to get out of the tent. I was in the tent too long. I had to go out in the lobby.
Look, I went and brought us some marshmallows.
Oh, I'm so glad.
If only we had a fire.
I'm so glad we have these marshmallows together.
Oh, look, I have a fire app on my phone. Can we just roast them on that?
I don't.
No. Okay. Cliff.
Yeah. Kindle fire. I have so many not about the fire. Fire was last week. Damn it. Quit telling me about the fires, for heaven's sake. I have more to tell you about camping.
Okay. Tell me something about camping.
I have so many great tips. Here's what you've got to do. You've got to do this, Kendall. Everybody wants to take eggs with them on camping, right?
But they do.
Yeah, everybody's like, I got to have these eggs. We're going to want to wrap them in a thing and throw them in the fire.
Got to have my shower. Got to have my eggs.
Got to have a shower. Got to have an egg. And if you've got room left in your blank bag for anything but your portable shower, then mm-hmm. you're going to want to do this with your eggs, okay? You get a huge, big mason jar. Fill that halfway with some sort of liquid. And then you just shove all the eggs in there, and that it makes for quick, easy storage, and they'll carry. Then you just pull them out of the jar, and it's a life hack for you.
Sorry, that made me think. Mrs. Pussy Bottom stopped by last week, and she brought a mason jar full of pickled eggs
mm-hmm.
in pickle juice. Have you had those before?
No.
I couldn't even look at them or open them.
I said,
oh, thank you, and then I just put them on the shelf.
Put them on the shelf. Oh, if you know, they would have been gone if Charles was here.
Oh, God,
he was here to eat them. Oh, my gosh, Kendall, I can't believe what you did this weekend at Charles the Contractor's coma side. We went to see him. We went to visit him on Sunday morning. I was trying to have a nice moment. We turned on Smokey and the Bandit on Channel 81. It was the second one. It was the part about like the elephant and all this stuff. And we were watching it, and oh man, you though.
Well, I hate Charles. Let me just say that. And
you don't watch. Now, first, we do not want to perpetuate hate on this show.
Okay.
He's a contractor. He's Charles the Contractor. We've known him for years. He transformed this garden shed we're in into a studio. He made it look just like our old studio from LA. He was there. He used to call in as a fan, and then, you know, all these different things. He's with the glass booth down in Busheltown. He won the marathon. How do you go from winning a marathon into a months-long coma? That's basically what he did. And so, I mean, Charles the Contractor, yes, he is responsible for the urine corner in here. And, you know, a lot of the drywall is just oatmeal. And it's nobody's perfect. And nobody's perfect.
But Cliff, all I heard was... anyway, when you're talking about how great Charles is... anyway, Cliff had been, he had had this 12-minute soliloquy talking about how great Charles was, and it tired him out while he was watching Smoking Bandit. He fell asleep, and
I thought maybe some flattery would get him out of the coma. You know, nobody's going to, frankly, because you go in, the first thing you say is, what's that stench in here?
Look, hard love is what gets people to come out of comas. People have tried for years to sit there and talk to people and say, oh, you know, come on out of this coma. It doesn't work. I'm giving him hard love.
You're like, what's that stench? You know, Charles, when you wake up, we got a hole in the roof we still got to get you to fill. Plus, we just had a fire in the Snodbottom office. You know, we got to get that damage. Nobody's going to do it but you. It's charred, Charles. And
stuff's lining up.
And you're yelling at him. I thought maybe, you know, say, now, Charles, you did a good job. It's not your fault. Some of those screws were faulty. And, you know, we've had a lot of letters from... truckers, you know, he's big in the trucker community down mm-hmm. at the truck stop. You know, that a lot of them have, you know, sent in things written on the back of squirrel meat. And I don't know, I thought maybe just getting, you know, telling him about life, and you're just reading this like mother list of, you know, chores to do once he wakes up. Who wants to wake up from a coma if you just got all these chores waiting for you?
Exactly. Anyway, so Cliff's asleep watching Smoking the Bandit 2. And I snuck down the hall and rolled Charles into another room and brought a different patient. I just switched him. I just switched him. I wanted to see if anybody would notice.
Why? And so then I wake up and I'm not, you know, I'm just like,
I was hoping we'd get a better contract.
Pouring my heart out. I didn't bother turning around to look at him, but I was just like, Charles, you know, you got to wake up. You mean so much to Kendall. And Mrs. Potter Butter turns very worried about, you know, bills and stuff. And then I turn around and, oh my God, Kendall, I could not believe that it was Dr. Blathers who was in to have his gallbladder replaced.
It was a funny joke for both of you.
And when he woke up, he was in recovery. He, you know, he just had the gallbladder put back in. And he woke up, oh, where am I? What's going on? And he pulled out his IV thing and stuff was flying everywhere. I was not laughing. Oh my God.
Oh, what is going on? Oh, come in.
What? Who is that?
Oh, hello, dear.
Hello. Yeah. Oh, never getting in the tent here with you, boy.
Dear, I just wanted to say I heard how terrible you were talking about Charles, Kendall, dear.
Can you believe it? Where's the etiquette?
Well, you know.
Where is the etiquette?
Exactly. Thank
you. Finally.
It's against his contract.
Well, dear, I think we've talked too much about this, dear. I've heard you go on and on about the hatred for Charles, dear. And I think it's time to have an etiquette tip and think of something positive, dear.
I think so. Let's have some etiquette.
All right, let's have some etiquette.
Now, is it camping etiquette? Is that what it is?
Of course, dear. How on topic would I be, of course?
Of course, boy. Who do you think you're talking to, boy? This beautiful Mrs. Potter with a butter-churned girl.
It'd be improper etiquette to not talk about camping.
Yes, you can do anything,
that's right.
Girl. Beautiful, I can't wait. I'm sitting with rapt attention.
Okay, dear. Well, first of all, one of the most important things when camping, dear, is to not leave a trace behind when you leave.
Yes.
You know, don't leave a fire burning and practice that credo, because after you've packed up your camp, but before you leave, you take a few minutes to reflect on your experience.
Just reflect.
And you think about what you might have done differently, what you might have forgotten.
What I like to do after any experience is right before it's over, I stop and I think, where did I go wrong?
Well, that's whatever you do, everything. Everything you do, dear, you should reflect on it and see what you did right and what you did wrong. And then I like to look around, take one last look, and make sure I left the campsite better than I found it.
Oh, yeah, leave
that's
it a little
tip.
Bit better. That is a good
tip. Yeah, I go camping a lot, Mrs. Butter. Oh, dear, we know. Look, first of all, also leave wood for the next camper.
Oh.
That's something that a lot of people don't do, but it's a very nice thing to do.
Of course, you gotta do it, girl. You chop a little extra wood. It's like paying it forward.
Of course, dear. And there's nothing
beautiful.
Better than when you get to a campsite and you're exhausted and you have to put a tent up that there's wood there waiting for you.
What a lovely.
That is a wonderful
beautiful,
thing.
Beautiful gesture.
Yes,
no one has ever left wood for me, but I will start to do that for them.
Well, that you maybe you know why nobody ever left it for you, because you never did it for them. It's called karma.
Well, now I know. I didn't know this was such a thing. It was a wonderful
there
tip,
are
Mrs. Potter,
four seasons of My Name is Earl telling you all about karma, and if you haven't learned it by now, I don't know if you ever.
If only it
ever,
involved camping.
If you don't know it by now.
And dear, I have one.
You will never know it.
Really, Bob?
I'm so sorry, dear. That was such improper etiquette to cut you off. I thought you were finished.
No, you just said like a duet. It's a beautiful symphony. I love it when people just talk and sing. It's like life.
Oh, well, wonderful,
it's a metaphor.
Dear. Well, I have one last tip, dear.
Oh, what is
it? And this one's very easy, dear.
All right.
All you need is a pen and a piece of paper. And when your trip is over and you are packed and ready to go, take a moment after you reflect, of course, and then pin a short note to the next camper, dear.
Oh, that is nice.
It's a wonderful day. I've received a few of these and left a few of myself, and you can tell the new camper about a few things of interest you discovered during your stay, and you can wish them a great time in all the lines of things they're going to do.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful tip.
Kendall, do you do that? Do you leave a note for the next camper?
I've never left a note. I didn't know.
Camping etiquette, boy. How could you live so long?
Now, look, why did this turn into a...
You've been camping for years. You never leave a note for the next camper, boy.
I'm going to leave a note for all of you.
The first thing you learn is a Boy Scout in Bushletown, boy. You leave a note. You leave a note of thanks to Mother Earth for providing the bounty of the camping trip. You leave a note for the next camper, boy.
Well, I will from now on.
Pointing out sights of interest and beautiful moments you may have shared amongst your loved ones.
Dear. It sounds good to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dear.
I don't camp. But...
The bowels are starting to infiltrate this tip, dear.
Excuse me. Pardon me, girl. I didn't even notice. I was so intent on bringing Candle to learn about camping etiquette.
Well, I'm so glad that you are teaching me camping etiquette, Mr.
It's high time you learn.
Well, I will never camp the same way again.
Never.
But thank you both for coming in and camping with us, and thank you for those wonderful etiquette tips,
yeah.
Mrs. Butterfield.
Yeah.
Dear, always happy to do it.
Come along, girl. I've got to wipe off some more things damaged in the fire last week.
Oh, dear, you and that fire here. I can't even imagine that.
I've got to.
Oh, well, I'm so glad they stopped by.
I'm so glad we've had this time together. Kendall.
And now I just feel horrible for every time I've camped, I've done it wrong.
Well, you know, sometimes you realize, you know, my whole life I've been doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Get on the boat, Kendall, the banana
boat.
You gotta
that's
do
exactly what I thought.
You got well, that's where I was going. You gotta get on the banana boat. Because here's what you wanna do. When you're throwing goodies on the fire, right? You're gonna definitely wanna bring along a bunch of bananas. And you're gonna cut them open a little bit, but don't
mashed bananas. I should never start it.
All right.
You didn't have to.
I did have to. All right, Kendall, what you want to do, open up that banana, but only slightly. Mm-hmm. Then you want to sort of create a little bit of extra room around the meat of the banana. And then you shove inside the peel, and it's where it still kind of will hold it, like all kind of like chocolate chips and all different other like candies and goodies. And then you want to put it on the fire, and it's going to melt all those chocolate chips or butternut chips or whatever, and they'll be oozing down over that banana. Oh, and Kendall, you're just going to slap them out of people's hands so you can eat them for yourself.
Some wonderful camp-side mashed banana.
A camp banana!
Mrs. Potter Butter Butcher really likes that. She's excited out there.
She I
love all your camping tips involve food.
Well, not all of them, Kendall. Come on.
I went from hosting to roasting.
Come on.
I got something that you should know.
I got something that you should know.
Are you sure I should know? It's time for the game show that makes you feel dumb.
You gotta know this.
Things you should know. And now here are your hosts, in a tent, Cliff and Kim.
Uh-oh.
Oh, this is intense, Cliff.
In a tent.
Oh, it's intense.
I'm intent on telling you what you should know, Kendall. Right. Who?
Should I start us out?
I'm going to start, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this one reminded me so much of you.
Okay.
So I thought I would ask it, okay?
Oh, God.
What sexual problem is grounds for divorce in 24 U.S. states?
Sodomy. I don't know. I try to think of the weirdest thing in some weird states that they would.
Sodomy is the weirdest thing you can get to, Kendall.
impotence. That they would make you have divorce.
Impotence.
For. Impotence. Uh oh.
First off, let's recap. I said this reminded me so much of you, and his answer is sodomy. And where I was going was impotence. So I think I was open and above board and going in a PG direction, and you have just thrown yourself under that bus, buddy.
Okay. I thought you meant it reminded you of me because it had something to do with sexual thing. Okay.
Because when I think of sex, I think of Kendall. When I think to myself.
I actually thought that you hadn't read the questions yet, and you were just saying that and picking up one.
What a sexual co-host.
Cliff, how many Johns have been Pope?
How many? Like 15.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, 21.
Oh, that was pretty close. I think that's pretty good.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad. It's bad. It's bad. You know it. And the whole world tries to tell me I'm bad, and I tell you once again, who's bad? Kendall, this does remind me of you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of sodomy, where's the 19th hole on a golf course?
There is no 19th hole.
Your butthole? No, it's the clubhouse.
Oh, they call it the 19th hole?
They do, Kendall. Why don't you read your time golfing handbook once in a while.
Cliff, I've played golf. Never heard that.
You camping golfer.
Cliff,
you. Yeah.
What was Rhoda's maiden name?
Rhoda's maiden name?
Mm-hmm.
You mean Rhoda Morgenstern?
That's the one, Cliff. Morgenstern.
Oh, my God. Kendall, you're talking about my close family there.
I know.
The Rhoda Morgensterns. All right, Kendall, speaking of you, impotence, sodomy. Now, this does remind me of you. This has K-E-N-D-A-L-L. K-E-N-D-A-L-L written all over it. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Buddy boy, what's the world's largest dog? Not you.
A bull mastiff?
No, come on. The Irish wolfhound. That roamed the moors at night.
No, I don't think I know an Irish wolfhound.
Looking for unsuspecting victims.
This did get really scary.
I know.
Oh, God. Sorry, that caught me off guard. I wasn't even ready. I forgot what I was going to ask you. What are the?
Yeah,
this one reminds me of you, Cliff.
Oh, what perfect pitch. I'll sing you a song with my perfect pitch.
Speaking of the equator.
Sing you a song or two.
What are the two hottest months at the equator?
The two hottest months?
Yep.
Let's go July and August.
No.
No?
March and September.
Wonder how that like the fall and spring. How weird.
It's different. It's on the equator.
It's different. Everything's different there.
And that's all the time we have today for Things You Should Know. Join us next time for more Things You Should Know. Oh, Cliff, now I feel like we know it all.
I feel like we know it all. I feel like there's nothing left to know.
There's nothing that's sad.
That's why this is the last episode of our show.
We're calling it quits. We know everything.
There's nothing left to know.
Now you know about camping. You're all caught up with the
now
world.
Now that you know, that was the last thing we could think of to talk about.
If our listeners want to know
kidding.
More about camping,
kidding.
Get out into the woods and go camping. But if you want to know more about other things, go to cliffandkindle.blogspot.com. Email us at cliffandkindle@yahoo.com or give us a call on our fat line at 818-308-4FAT.
Do it, Kendall. I'm going to tell you this. Camping, it's nature's way of promoting the motel industry. And that was said by Harry Dave Barry.
Well, you took my first one.
Oh,
so.
Shit.
So here, I got this one. I got the our favorite comedian.
Uh-huh.
Kathy Griffin said this.
Oh, okay.
My fear of camping, I'm convinced bugs will crawl up my vagina and lay eggs. Oh, isn't no. everyone?
Oh, no. Oh, Kathy, our lady of broadcast comedians, a lover. Someday we should do a fan cast. Kendall, some national parks have long waiting lists for camping reservations. When you have to wait a year to sleep next to a tree, something is wrong. And that was said by one of our other favorite comedians, George Carlin.
See, George and Kathy, our favorites.
Love them. And our beloved Joan.
Mm-hmm.
And Roseanne, who's not going to buy a vacuum cleaner till Sears makes one you can ride on. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you here next week.
Oh, yeah.
Binge listen to more episodes at cliffandkindle.blogspot.com.